My message for you today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to go verse by verse through the first 9 verses of 1 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, there's a phrase that's used over and over again in the book of Acts, referring to the people of God, referring to the people who believe God, who believe the Scriptures, who love our Lord Jesus Christ. They're called in the book of Acts the people of the way. This is used 6 times in the book of Acts. The people of the way, or the people of this way, or that way. Let me give you just 2 or 3 places where it's the people of God are referred to as that way. In Acts 9, verse 2, Paul desired letters to Damascus, that if he found any people of this way, he might arrest them and bring them bound to Jerusalem to be put in prison. If he found any people of this way. And then in Acts 19, verse 9, the Scripture says, many were hardened, and they didn't believe the message preached. But they spake evil of this way. The way of grace, the way of Christ, the way of the gospel. In Acts 22, Paul giving his own testimony about how he used to feel about the people of the way. He said, I persecuted this way unto death. The people of the way. That's how they're referred to in the book of Acts, about 6 times. And then the Apostle Peter in chapter 2, of 1 Peter. He gave a wonderful description of the people of the way. He said, you are a chosen generation, the elect of God. He said, you're a royal priesthood, king priest. He said, you are a holy nation. He said, you are a purchased people. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. A purchased people. He said, you're called people. God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In times past, you were not a people, but you're now the people of God. You have obtained mercy. Didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, didn't work for it, didn't buy it. We obtained it. And he says, and you're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You'll find these people of the way. This way, these people of God, these peculiar people, you'll find them in every nation. You'll find them, as John wrote in Revelation, in every tongue, tribe, and kindred on earth. You'll find that they're male and female. They're old and young. Some are rich and some are poor. Some are wise, some are unwise. But the Lord Jesus calls them my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. The Lord Jesus called them my brethren. He said at the judgment, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. He calls them my church. He told Peter and the apostles, I'll build my church. On this rock, I'll build my church. And then he calls them my jewels. I gave this scripture a few services ago in our church worship service. In Malachi 3, verse 17, the Lord said, and they shall be mine, these people of the way, these people of God, these believers. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his only son. But I've selected this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, in which Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives such a full and rich definition of the people of God, the people of the way, the people of that way, that I want to give you these marks, these characteristics of the people of the way. First of all, in verse 1, you have your Bible, look at it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Peter calls the people of God scattered strangers. Why would he call them strangers? Well, they're not strangers to God. I just quoted our Lord said, I know my sheep, and they know me. I call them by name. They're not strangers to God. And secondly, they're not strangers in heaven. Our Lord said they're angels. These people have angels. They have guardian angels. He'll give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Also, the angels, Hebrews 1:14, the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. Did you know that? Angels minister to God's people right here on this earth. That's what it says. The angels of God are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. So they're not strangers in heaven, and they're not strangers to one another. The Lord Jesus said that concerning the believers, he said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Who are my sisters? These who do the will of God. The same with my mothers, my brothers, my sisters, my people. I'll tell you why he called them strangers. Now listen, I'll tell you why. They're strangers in this world. The world knows them not, esteems them not, regards them not. Most cases, loves them not, the people of God. They're strangers in the world. Their master was a stranger. He said, the world hated me before it hated you. In John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It said in John 1, 11, he came to his own nation, his own people, his own synagogue, his own temple, and his own received him not. He's called in one psalm the stranger of Galilee. He's not a stranger to his people, but he's a stranger in this world. That's right. And believers, God's people, can expect opposition from the people of the world. Because, you see, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood. And he says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, if the leaders of this world had known who Jesus Christ is, they would not have crucified him. But eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love him in this man Christ Jesus. They didn't know him. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. They hid, as it were, their faces from him. Everybody that was anybody turned thumbs down on Jesus Christ when he was on this earth. They spit in his face. And they nailed him to a cross. They crucified him. Strangers. Strangers. Our fathers in the Old Testament days, the scripture says, they all died in faith. But while they were walking this earth, they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This world is not the friend of God. And this world will not be your friend if you walk with God, and if you believe God, and if you love the gospel of God. Our Lord said to his disciples before he went back to glory and sent them out to a hostile world. Sent them out to preach the gospel. And he said, now listen. He said, they'll persecute you. They'll harass you. They'll cast you out of the synagogue. And there'll come a time when a man who killed you will think he does God a service. But they'll do this to you because they neither know me nor my Father. And if you, listen, if you were of the world would love you. But because you're not of the world. Now listen, this is the Master talking. It's not Brother Mayan. This is the Lord Jesus. If you were of the world, the ways of the world, the behavior of the world, the unbelief of the world, the rebellion of the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you, and they'll cast you out. So Peter said, the people of God are scattered strangers. I'm writing to the scattered strangers, strangers to the world. And then in verse 2, the people of God are called his elect. Let me read verse 2. You follow as I read. It says he's writing to the strangers, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The elect. You know, the first one called the elect is Christ. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, Christ Jesus is called God's elect. Listen, let me read it. God says, behold, my servant. My servant. Christ was called the servant of the Father. Whom I uphold. Mine elect. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose us in our head. He's mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. God's never said that about a man. Except Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom my soul delighteth, in whom I'm well pleased. This is mine elect. I put my spirit upon him without measure. He shall bring forth judgment. Christ is mine elect. And then the people of Israel were called God's elect. In Isaiah 45, verse 4, Jacob, my servant, for my servant Jacob's sake, and for Israel, mine elect's sake, I have called thee by my name. And then in Colossians 3, verse 12. Now Christ, God says, is mine elect. Israel, mine elect. Now in Colossians 3, verse 12, all believers are called the elect of God. Here's what Paul says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgive one another as Christ forgave you, mine elect. What's the cause of our election? What does that verse 2 say? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. What's the cause of our election? Is it because we know him? No, it's because he knows us. We elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We didn't know him. He knew us. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He said to those people at the judgment that tried to gain entrance to heaven by their works, he said, I never knew you. But Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before I formed you in the belly, before you came out of your mother's womb. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We didn't love him. He loved us. We love him because he first loved us. That's what the scripture said. What's the means by which we know our election? We're called mine elect. We're called God's elect. And the reason we're God's elect, the cause is the foreknowledge of God. And then he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. According to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. Through sanctification. So setting apart of the Spirit. The Spirit of God set us apart. The Spirit of God. Sanctification is God setting apart something common, ordinary, for his glory, for his use. God sanctified the Sabbath day. That's one day out of seven. Set it apart. God sanctified the firstborn son in all the homes of Israel. Set him apart. God sanctified the vessels of the temple from the other vessels. Set them apart. God sanctified, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I sanctify myself for your sake. I set myself apart to be your Redeemer. And you're sanctified by the Spirit. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2. We're bound to give thanks for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, setting apart by the Spirit, and belief of the truth. The Holy Spirit set us apart. God the Father sanctified us from all eternity. Christ the Son sanctified us on the cross. Sanctify them by your blood. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us by setting us apart, and we hear the gospel in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, and then you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Yes, God's elect. The cause of it, the foreknowledge of God. The means of it, the Holy Spirit and the word of God. And the end of it, listen, unto obedience. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth, unto obedience. He hath created us unto good works, unto obedience. Faith in Christ brings obedience to Christ. And the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, obedience, righteousness, justification. And listen to what he says about us. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. One more question on this verse. What's the evidence that we're God's elect? He gives us grace and peace multiplied. Elect, scattered strangers, he said. And elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, through the power and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, unto obedience, unto the sprinkling of the blood by which we're washed and purified, and justified, and sanctified. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. Out of the infinite riches of God in Jesus, he giveth, 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 giveth more grace every day. We know it. Grace multiplied. Grace multiplied. All right, the people of God. Verse 3, they're born of God. It says in verse 3, well, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. Now, you know what begotten means. He begat Jacob, begat Esau, and Esau begat this one, and Jacob begat Isaac, and Abraham begat Isaac. We're born of God. He hath begotten us again. We're born of God. We're born from above. We're born of the Spirit of God, and he hath begotten us to a living hope, to a living hope of eternal divine life by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you read that? Did you listen? Begotten of God. Our first birth was of man. Our second birth was by the power of God. Our first birth was to flesh. Our second birth was the Spirit. Our first birth ends up in death. Our second birth, a living hope, life everlasting. He hath begotten us again. Again. The first birth made me a son of my daddy. My second birth made me a son of God. A son of God. Think of it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And you know what the next verse says, verse 4. We're not only sons of God, but we're heirs of God. Now think about this. We're rich. He hath begotten us again unto an inheritance. An inheritance. Everybody knows what an inheritance is. But our inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you're a son of God, you're an heir of God. Our sons are heirs. Nobody doubts that. Scripture says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirits that we're children of God, sons of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God. And not only that, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What he has, we have. He said, Father, you have loved them as you love me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them. We're heirs of God. Think about the riches of his kingdom. Think about the riches of his grace. Think about the riches of his glory. That's our inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's unchanging. Years have no effect on this inheritance. It's undefiled. It's untouched by sin or decay. It fadeth not away. All of your earthly joys are fading away. Fade each earthly joy. But my friends, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, and its pleasures fade away. Change and decay in all around me I see. But O thou who changest not, abide with me. My inheritance is incorruptible, unchangeable, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. And watch this, and it's reserved in heaven. It's reserved in heaven for you. For whom? For you who are sons of God. Not for anybody else. It's reserved for you. You scattered strangers. You elect. You folks that are born again, who are children of God. The heirs of God, this inheritance is reserved for you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And if the sons of God, then they're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, what's the fifth verse? They are kept people. They are secure. They're scattered strangers, strangers in this world, strangers and pilgrims. Scattered, they're elect of God. And they're born of God, sons of God, they're heirs of God. Now listen, and they're secure people. Notice how these verses are written. And notice there's not a period. We need to learn to read the Word of God and watch the punctuations. There's no period here. He hath begotten us as sons to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's not a period there. For you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's one sentence. In other words, all who are born of God are sons of God. And all who are sons of God are heirs of God. And all who are heirs of God are kept by God. Kept, secure. They'll never fail, they'll never fall, they'll never perish. Born, sons, heirs, and kept. Now listen, a son of God, born of God, can no more cease to be a child of God than my children who are born to me and carry my name can cease to be my child. I have three sons and a daughter. They'll never cease to be my sons and daughters. They're my children. And God's children are forever his children, born of God, heirs of God, loved of God, and kept by God. His children are born by power. His children are given life by power. His children are made new creatures by power. And his children are kept by the power of God. Who saved you? You say God did. Did God save you on purpose or was it an accident? He saved me on purpose. It took the power of God to save you, didn't it? What kind of power? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the power that made you a son of God. It took the same power to make Jesus Christ a son of man. It takes the same power to make you a son of God. And that's not going to change. It took the power of God to make Christ a son of man. It takes the power of God to make a son of man a son of God. And that power will keep them through faith. Not apart from faith. Not without faith. We believe. And we're going to believe tomorrow if we'd believe today. John said if they'd been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. If we repented, we'd repent now and we will repent. If we believe, we believe now and we will believe. And we'll keep on believing because God keeps us by his power through faith. He that hath begun a good work in you, did he begin it? He'll finish it. Verse 6 and 7 says God's people are tried people. Let me read this to you. You're sons of God and heirs of God wherein you rejoice. Though now, verse 6 and 7, in this world you are in heaviness, you are in distress, you are in sorrow because of many trials. God sends us trials. He gave Paul a trial, a thorn in the flesh. He said, lest you be exalted above measure. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And our faith is tried to prove the genuineness of it, to strengthen it, to give us patience, and to enable us to help others. And our Lord told his disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In this world, you'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now here's the last point, verse 8. The people of God love the Lord Jesus Christ. They're strangers. They're God's elect. They're born of God. They're sons of God. They're secure people. They're tried people. But they are people who love Christ. They believe on his name and they rejoice in his salvation. Whom having not seen, I've never seen Christ with these eyes. I've seen him in his word. I've seen him in creation. I've seen him in his people. But though I haven't seen him, I love him. Though we see him not, we believe. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God's people are rejoicing people. Now, if you want this tape, it has on one side the book, and it has on this side the people of God. If you'll send $2, we'll mail you these two messages on the same tape. The book, the people of God. Till we meet again, may the Lord bless you.